Welcome to this Rock the Flock podcast. Listen to the full two-hour show each Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. on 89.7 WJHO.
Welcome to Rock the Flock for the week of Sunday, December 14th, 2025. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. What is Rock the Flock? Yes, I know I'm scripted to have to say it every week. But it is the best show. Why? Because God drives it. They're amazing artists on this show, not only their music, but if you get to follow, connect with them, and see what God is doing in their life. This week, this interview has been booked for quite a while, and I'm excited. I've been waiting for it. I know there's something that God has in store for it. Miss Jen Chenoweth. Jen, thank you for taking the time and coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Greg. I'm really excited to be with you and just talk. I'm excited.
Well, we love our Southern brothers and sisters because you are in the state that hangs off the south part of the United States.
Yes, I am.
Down in Florida, a beautiful, absolutely beautiful place to live, and a lot of independent Christian artists are in Florida.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know that until I started releasing music, but you're absolutely right.
Well, I tell you what, when we come back, we're going to get the shovel out and we're going to just dig all into your life and we're going to find out what God's been doing.
Sounds great to me.
We'll be right back with Miss Jen Chenoweth right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Joining us from the Sunshine State, Miss Jen Chenoweth. Jen, again, thank you again for stopping. We're all busy, a busy time of year. But you are on the first of 2 weeks of Christian music, Christian independent artist music here on Rock the Flock by the Rock the Flock artists. So this is God's picked you. Like I said, we don't organize who comes on what day to the show. I truly believe God ordains it. And so you are here for this show for a reason.
Absolutely. I'm so honored. I'm so honored to be a part. I love what you guys are doing and just like so humbled to be able to share a little bit of my story and hope to help somebody that needs to hear it.
Well, all right. Well, I told you I have a unique way of bringing you into the Rock the Flock house.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. You've walked up the sidewalk. You're up the steps. You knocked on the door. Last week, I had to add a second level to the house because level one's getting pretty full. We've got people on the back deck. Now they're upstairs.
Okay.
Okay, you've knocked on the door. The door is opened. Everybody's looking. Who's this new sister coming into the family? Who is Miss Jen Chenoweth?
That was a great setup. Thank you for that. So I've lived in Florida most of my life. Actually, my whole life. I went away to college at Southeastern. But basically, my story, who I am, I grew up as a pastor's kid, a ministry kid. Mm-hmm. And from a young age, I was a worship leader at 9 years old. I had a radical encounter with God when I was 7 years old. And I decided to take communion and get baptized. And I was so excited about my faith. And along the way, I got closer and closer to the Lord, but I also was dealing with internal struggles that I was telling no one about, extreme insecurities about who I was, my identity, because I felt I was living in the shadow of my parents. Mm-hmm. Oldest sibling, always trying to look out for everyone, people pleaser. But I genuinely loved the Lord and I genuinely had an encounter with him. But I had so many issues with anxiety and depression throughout my life, starting all the way back to age 12. And so even though I had this deep connection and relationship with God, I was internalizing so many different struggles that I was telling no one about. And as I got older, I learned more and more about that, that what I was dealing with was really chronic anxiety. And I had nowhere to go. I didn't know who to talk to about it. I didn't even know how to form the words as to what I was going through. And so, you know, I grew, I got a lot better. I got a lot of help from pastors in my life, from friends in my life and mentors, and got to a place where I was going to go to Southeastern. I got involved with worship there, grew in the gifts God has given me, developed a passion for songwriting, which had started at age 15, but kind of dwindled out. And so here I am at college, and I loved what I was doing, but deep down, I didn't really know who I was. I was still struggling with my identity. And, you know, back at home, everyone thinks they know you as the pastor's kid, but yet you feel that no one knows you at the same time, because you feel they don't know who you really are, and you don't even know who you really are at times. And so, you know, went to Southeastern, had an incredible experience, came back home. And one thing I haven't shared yet, I don't think on any podcast, is when I came back from the college I graduated from, Southeastern, I was out with friends and I was crossing a crosswalk and I got hit by a car, and I was sideswiped against the car multiple times and then fell into the middle of the road. And a guy that had seen it happen couldn't even believe I was alive. And so went back to the hospital. I broke all the bones on like the left side of my body. I was in a wheelchair, and all of that anxiety that had been kind of suppressed that I kept pushing down, it was as if that accident put me in this place where all that anxiety had created an impact and caught up with me. And so I knew that God had saved my life, because even my friends who were with me, one of my friends pulled me out of the road. She could not believe what she saw. She's like, there must have been an angel, because we have no idea how you're okay seeing this happen. And so God really protected my life. And I saw him do it with my brother through multiple brain surgeries when he was young, and he healed him completely. And then I saw him do it with my life. And so through that experience, God brought so much into my life. My husband, that we've now been married almost 10 years, he came back into my life when I was recovering from that major accident. And God just showed me his goodness and his favor and his love, and in a way that I could never fathom, but I was still living with the chronic anxiety. And so I continued to seek mentorship, you know, I continued to seek help, because I knew something in me was still wrong. And at the core of it was a lack of trust in the Lord. I didn't really trust God. If I was honest with myself, I loved the Lord, but I had so many trust issues. I wanted to be in control of my life. Mm-hmm. Before I got hit by that car, I had my own plans. I was going to move to Nashville, move in with one of my close friends. And I had my plans. I had never prayed about those plans. I had never thought really like, is this the right move? I just was being impulsive. And, you know, you're excited. You just graduated and you want to leave and do your own thing. And I'm not saying that God caused the accident, but I was in a place where I had to wait for a healing process. And I was young, so I healed really quickly. But even then I was like, all right, can we wrap this up? Like, can the bones heal? Can I get out of the wheelchair? Can I get off the crutches? Because I'm done. I'm ready to be back up again. But it was really through that season of being covered in casts and going to physical therapy that God was teaching me how to trust the process of healing, a physical healing and also an inner healing that he wanted to do in me. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, you know, I've had other health issues come up, and I've talked a lot about my TMJ problems with my jaw locked on me, and I had multiple surgeries, and God has brought me through every single thing I've faced in my life. And I have no idea how I'm here, because without the Lord, I would be dead, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be here. But God has such a bigger plan than we have for ourselves. And I'm so glad that I didn't know the course before I walked it, because I might have been like, no, thank you. Like, I'll turn the other way. But God really knew what he was doing with my life, and he saved me. And, you know, I was a mess, but God kept giving me chance after chance. And so that's why I finally got to a place where I was ready to release music and share my heart and my story and stop hiding in the background, because God said, it's time for you to share your story. And that's what this is. So that's just a little, I don't know, piece of it.
Yeah, I know. I always tell everybody that Forrest Gump doesn't have anything on the bench compared to my life. I mean, it's, and it's really neat to sit here and listen to how God moves in people's lives, how he, and like you said, you don't know if he meant to, for you to be in that accident, but look what came out of it.
Yeah.
You know, he, and I work with a bunch of young men, and I tell them all the time to trust the Lord, you know, just because even in good times, bad times, and all in between, no matter what happens to us, because this is a tough world to live in.
It is, yeah.
I mean, not just what we deal with in our own households, but my goodness, when we step out the door, there, oh, it's nuts out here. And just to trust the Lord. So thank you for reminding us that even in physical pain, because I'm sure that therapy was not fun.
No, and I felt completely disconnected from the experience. You know, I think when you're young, you're just doing what you have to do. So when you feel the pain, you're so shocked by it because you're like, come on, we got to move on. And you just can't rush it. You can't, no matter what I did, I couldn't get the cast off when I wanted. It had to be in the time that I needed for healing. And God does that with us, you know?
He does. He does. You know, he answers every prayer. And some are today. They're answered today. But yeah. But then there's a process sometimes that we have to wait for that answer.
Yeah.
But we have to grow. We have to grow in our faith. We have to grow closer to him. And
yep.
And pretty deep right there. That's good.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to sometimes to admit to ourselves that we're not trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard reality. But when you do, you see your life differently. You really do.
Well, I tell you what, when we come back, do you have a Bible verse you would like to share with us?
I do.
All right. We'll be right back with Miss Jen Chenoweth right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you, whether you're listening on the airways of 89.7 WJHO, streaming online at 897WJHO.org, or once again, you've gotten on your favorite podcast platform and you found this podcast called Rock the Flock and you just can't get away from it. I can't apologize. It's because we have amazing guests that God brings to the show. And this week, hey, when God lines up stars, he just sends superstars to the show. Miss Jen Chenoweth. Jen, thank you for opening up about your life. Pretty interesting things going on. And
yeah.
I'm glad that the Lord brought you not in full circle around, but it is tough to grow up a pastor's child.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're labeled, you're expected to react, to behave a certain way.
Yeah.
And for God to protect you and keep you on path.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Well, what Bible verse have you prepared for the show?
Yeah, I was thinking about this interview specifically. You know, I've had verses that I've talked about because of the music that I've been putting out, but I was thinking specifically for this podcast that you do, which is amazing. A word that God had for those that are listening. And he brought me to Isaiah 40. We're in a season of Advent, right? In December, a season of waiting. And I've just been stunned with how hard it is for me to wait. And I know as believers and as people, like, it's just hard for us sometimes to wait. So God brought me to Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become tired or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who has no might, he increases their power. Even youths grow weary and tired, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect him, look for him, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And that's just a passage that God put on my heart for this season of Advent and waiting, that, you know, he doesn't get tired like we do. Mm-hmm. And this season specifically is so exhausting when you really think about it. And it's so hard for us to, we want to love and appreciate every moment he's given us, but like the world has its own plans and we have our, you know, gift list and, you know, there's things happening in our lives that are really hard, or family issues. And now we have to see our family, or, you know, fill in the blank, or we don't have what we need for the Christmas season, or maybe we have to work on Christmas Day, you know? And God just brought me here and is sharing in my heart, you know, the Lord doesn't need the kind of sleep and rest that we need. Mm-hmm. We're people, we have limits, and I'm so thankful for the limits we have, because that's where God can come in and do the work that only he can do, because he doesn't grow weary and tired. And yet he gives us supernatural strength as his children so that we can run and not become faint. So that was the verse I had today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And that verse going into to Christmas, what does Christmas mean to you?
Yeah. Christmas is my favorite time of year. It's my favorite season. I love thinking about God using the most unexpected people in the most unexpected places. It reminds me that you don't despise small beginnings, you know, like our Lord and Savior, where he was born, who he was born to. It wasn't what we would have expected for the King of Kings. And obviously the people there didn't understand the people that they were dealing with that night. But I just love that God uses ordinary people and ordinary stories. And whenever I feel like I'm dealing with pride, or I get full of myself, or, you know, fill in the blank, we struggle sometimes, even in our insecurities, we focus on ourselves. And I'm just reminded, like, I'm ordinary. Like, I am like everybody else, but God chooses to see us as his children and use our stories individually and make something that seems like it doesn't matter. It matters so much to the Lord. So for you, for me, for every person listening, God cares about your story. You're not just ordinary to him. You're his child. And if he can use all the people he used in the Christmas story, he wants to use you just the same in your life, in your story for this time.
Amen. Because I always said, if I could be like Joseph,
yeah,
you know, if I could have faith like Joseph, you know, because I said on last week's show, that would be very hard to go home and tell your parents. You know, yeah, that would be very hard to explain this situation because it wasn't ordinary. It was super ordinary, yeah, because it was spiritual. And Mary and Joseph, two normal, very normal people.
Yeah.
That God chose to raise his flesh.
Yeah.
You're right. He could do so many things he can do in our lives if we would just put aside our pride, our greed, our anger, you could just keep going on.
Yeah.
And let him work.
Amen. Amen. I agree.
Well, all right. When we come back, since this is a music show, let's talk. We'll come back and talk about your music.
Sounds great. I'm excited.
We'll be right back with Miss Jen Chenoweth right here on Rock the Flock Radio. It's Rock the Flock Radio. Joining me this week from the Sunshine State of Florida, if you don't know what that is, Miss Jen Chenoweth. Jen, we've taken this journey through your life. You've blessed us with opening up the Word of God. You talked about what Christmas means to you, and then you took it to another whole level about God can use ordinary people to do super ordinary things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this is the music part of the show where we talk about music. We talk about all kinds of things. So let's just get going. What instruments do you play?
So I'm actually mainly a vocalist. I am working on my guitar skills and piano skills right now, but I am not solid enough yet. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm able to use my guitar to write songs and things like that and do what I need to do to get those things rolling. But I am mainly a vocalist and worship leader.
What's harder to learn to play, the guitar or the piano?
It's strange. For me, it's been the piano, which usually people have an easier time with the piano, but I've had a harder time with the piano and an easier time with guitar. And it's funny because my mother is a professional pianist and harpist. So you'd think those skills would transfer a little more, but I mean, it's hard work. So I need to stick with it.
I found out through all these interviews that basically if you can play the piano, you can pretty much get anything else.
I think so. I've heard that a lot too. And I have a friend that can literally play anything and I don't know how, but yeah, I think some are stronger than others. So
when did you know that, okay, you told us you knew when God had his plan for you.
Yeah.
When did you know that part of that plan was to worship him, to sing for him?
Yeah, I like I said before, I started singing when I was 9. Mm-hmm. And it was really only because there was a need in the church and I was the pastor's daughter, to be honest. That's pretty much the reason. Mm-hmm. And so my kids' church needed a worship leader and they had no one, and I could carry a tune and I, you know, had kind of a powerhouse little voice, but I didn't really know how to use it. So they just kind of stuck me up on stage and I started leading worship and I was on fire for the Lord at that point. I really was. And I had had that experience at 7, and at 9, here I am leading the kids' service. And so I knew from a young age that worship was the area that I just knew. You can't really explain it, but when you operate in the gift God's given you, mm-hmm. you know it. Even if it's not fully developed yet, even if it's not what you think it should be, and when you're 9, you're not even thinking about that. You're just doing what you know to do. So as I got older, I was like, okay, I need to grow in my gift. I don't want to stay stagnant. I always was fighting this feeling inside of staying stagnant. And so I was in love with worship music. I had every CD you can imagine. I would beg my mom to take me to the Christian bookstore every day after school to get a new CD. And I would listen to Carrie Job and, you know, all the big Christian artists, and fell in love with worship. I would worship in my room for hours, and God was really doing something in me that I didn't even understand. And so as I got older, I started to get help from people that were better than me, that were farther along, that would mentor me, train my voice, tell me that I had more in me. And I was like, oh, I'll just sing backup. And then my mentor, who was my worship leader in youth group, moved away, and she's like, all right, it's your time to step in. And I was like, nope. Like, I'm not, not doing that. I was that person, like God was saying it's time. And I was like, let me run away real quick and come back. Give me 2 years to think about it. But I stepped in it. And during that season, I just started leading more and more and more. And each time I led, I felt God's spirit, like just working beyond anything that I could make sense of. And so I went back to that mentality of like, oh, this is something you knew that God had gifted you for, and he's allowing you to walk through it now. So it was just a lot of self-denial in the beginning. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. I don't think that I'm good enough to sing, or I don't have an extroverted enough personality to be a worship leader, you know? So I found everything wrong with me, and God was like, nope, like I chose you to do this. And so not because I'm the pastor's kid, not because of this or that. And I just started walking it out. And that's really where it all started from. And then when I went to college, God just ramped it up to a different level and helped me grow spiritually and as a worship leader and as a vocalist. And all those things came together.
How many songs do you think you've written?
When I was 15, I started writing. I probably wrote a lot of bad songs, but a couple of my songs my youth group loved, and we started singing them, and I did them at competitions and stuff growing up, and won an award for one of them. And so I was like, okay, there's something there. I don't know how many I've written. I wouldn't say as many as you think doing what I'm doing, but I'm new to artistry. Mm-hmm. I'm not new to worship leading. So worship leading I've done forever, but songwriting, I mean, maybe like 80 songs altogether.
That's a lot though.
It's still a lot, but the amount that I haven't done anything with is not good. So I think I need to keep going back to my voice notes but the ones that I've been able to put out, I'm so thankful for. So
you just answered the next question, because I think I love this question, because the answers are all across the spectrum. When God speaks to you and you have a chorus or you got a couple of lines, they just go together. Do you sing them, I guess, into your phone? Do you jot them down anywhere?
Yeah, I will get ideas. Like the project that I did last year, it happened so fast. And God, I forget the scripture verse. It was a message version. I need to look up the actual reference. But it says that those who love God are filled with great ideas. And I really believe that, because God would just like drop ideas into my heart and I would have to stop everything and go write it down because I would not remember. So I'll get like, for me, it's always a concept first, always. Like every once in a while, I'll sit down with my guitar and think of something on the spot, but rarely. It's usually a concept. So God will put the story of Jonah on my heart. That's what I've been writing about lately. Mm-hmm. I'll read through the passages. Like something will just like stick out at me and I'll just start singing about it and you start working it out. Like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. Okay, da da da. And, you know, 3 hours go by and you have something, whether it's chorus and bridge or verse or just a chorus. And I'll usually send it to a couple friends who write with me and be like, help me. So it's collaborative for me. Like, I'm just being real. Like, I need the guidance and the help. I need someone else to get their ears on it. And sometimes they go, Jen, you're on the right track. I don't want to get in the way. Keep doing what you're doing. And other times they'll be like, what about this or this? And we'll hop on a Zoom or something. So I love collaboration. That's where I thrive. So.
Well, I think you brought a song to the show, Truth mm-hmm. Comes Running. What inspired you to, or what's the background of that song?
Yeah, Truth Comes Running was kind of at the center of the project that I did. I was talking with a writer that helped me write Truth Comes Running, and she asked me, what do you want your project to be about? And I knew, like, God dropped it in my spirit. God's amazing, because he does what we can't, and he just gave me this idea based out of my testimony, which I feel so many struggle with, is fear. Fear of God, not the good fear of God, being scared of God, thinking, oh no, God's going to chase me down and bring the hammer down on me because I did something wrong, and how that applies to thinking people are out to get you too. So God dropped this idea in my heart of God is out to get you, but not in the ways you've been thinking. He's out to get you so he can find you and he can bring you in, because he's a good shepherd, he's a good father, and he's a good friend. And so when I shared that with her, she started writing Truth Comes Running with me. And the first line she said was, if I mess it up, will you be disappointed? And that was the line that started the entire album. Mm-hmm. And so it was really that feeling sometimes, and that thing we walk through as Christians, and not everyone relates to it, but a lot of people do, of God, if I mess this up, are you going to be disappointed in me? And then pointing that to our parents and our friends and our mentors. And if I screw this up, like, it's all coming down. And when we let that pressure go off our shoulders, that chorus says, when I run from the heart of who you are, your truth comes running. When I wrestle with accepting all you are, your truth comes running. And it's just this constant chasing after us that God does, though we don't deserve it. And then the bridge was, I said, all I want the bridge to say is, you're not out to get me, but to set me free. Mm-hmm. And my other friend Nerva came up with the beautiful melody of that bridge. And before we knew it, we had a whole song. I think that was the quickest song we wrote. And that one was almost like it was such a God thing. It just came together and it didn't make any sense to me how it happened. Other songs, it was like, gosh, we are working so hard and this is not coming together. And we figured it out. But there's things in life, God just, it's like it's popped in front of you and you're like, oh my gosh, this story of my life has brought me here. and God's going to use it. And he already was using it, but now it's like this tangible song that people can listen to. So yeah, that's the story.
Would you do the honor of introing the song and then we'll just go ahead and play it?
Yeah. So you're about to hear Truth Comes Running, which was my first single I ever released this year, actually, in February. And I want you to know when you listen to this song that God is not out to get you the way that you think he is. He is coming to set you free. So if you've been living with fear, this song is for you.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Rock the Flock. Thank you to all the artists who sent their wonderful Christmas music for a two-week Rock the Flock Christmas show. Thank you to the guests this week that took the time out just to schedule this interview. And thank you, Miss Jen Chenoweth, for taking the time to be here, to take the time away from your life, especially this season, because there are gifts to be ordered. There's family gatherings to arrange, and you made time to do this. So thank you.
Thank you. The honor's mine. Thank you so much.
Well, before we get into how people can connect with you, can I say a prayer?
Absolutely. I'd love that.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this show. I ask you to continue to bless it, to bless all the artists, to bless their music. Heavenly Father, please be with Jen, her husband, Lord, and guard that marriage, Heavenly Father. Walk with them, guide them. Bring the right people into Jen's life, Lord, that will expand her ministry. Bless her pen, Lord. Bless her skills, Lord, as she's learning to play the guitar and the piano. God, lead her to the right door. And when she knocks on it, Lord, open it up and guide her in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Well, how can people connect with you? Because they'll want to know.
Yeah, so you can find my social media. You can find me, Jen Chenoweth, on Instagram. My YouTube channel is Jen Chenoweth Music. And then you can listen to my music wherever you stream, whether that's Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you stream music, YouTube music, you can find it. And yeah, that's how you can connect with me.
Well, you're down in Boca Raton, Florida.
Yes,
sir. Do you get out and do you play in any, I simply say coffee shops. Do you get the opportunity to get out and play your music?
You know, I've not gotten to do my entire project all the way through yet. I'm hoping to do that at a coffee shop next year. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that. It's a lot of work, but I've gotten amazing opportunities to sing at women's conferences and share these original songs. Women's conferences, youth conferences, special projects with other people where artists are sharing their songs. And then even in worship nights, I've been able to do some of my original songs there, because I do have a few worship songs on the album. And so God's opened those doors. Because I work as well, it's not as frequent as I'd like right now, but I'm hoping to do the music a lot more next year live. So I'm excited for that because live is my favorite. So
we'll see. We're not too far away. So if you ever come northward, we'll have to see if we can get you in the studio. And next year, I'm looking to line up some Rock the Flock events. And that, I don't know what it will be yet, whether it'll be in a church and bring artists in to a church. If we throw a flatbed up in the middle of a park somewhere and just share the word of God through music and an independent Christian artist.
That'd be awesome. You just let me know when. I'd love to come to Alabama.
Well, you and your husband have a very Merry Christmas. Your family, enjoy this season, because we know, I know you know, I know your husband knows, there's no size of gift that we can put under that tree that can compare to the gift that we were given in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas, you and your family and your ministry. I'm just praying Rock the Flock just continues to reach so many people and that you have a happy holidays and get to rest.
Well, thank you. That's Miss Jen Chenoweth right here on Rock the Flock Radio.
Thanks for listening to Rock the Flock. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on 89.7 WJHO. 897WJHO.org, 89.7 WJHO on the Radio Alabama app, or on Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.